Well, I don't know. I couldn't see Hank there. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be back with you again. And as you know, I keep repeating myself, we do love to be here. We do appreciate you very much and your fellowship and the encouragement we enjoy. A brother back in Ontario said to me before we came here again, he says, you know, Mark, he says, we've noticed that when you return from the East Coast, that there's a lot of joy and happiness in your face, and that's true, and I really appreciate you guys very much, and thank you for your warm welcome and all your fellowship with us. This morning, the theme is going to be The Battle is the Lord's, and before we look at that, let's just ask the Lord's blessing one more time. Father, we're so thankful this morning for this opportunity to gather. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, how we just pray this morning that your Spirit, Lord, would speak to our hearts. Father, that you would, Lord, just work in our hearts this morning. Father, give us a soft and a tender heart for the things of God. Lord, that we would be affected. And Lord, that we would, Lord, hear your voice today. Father, we commit this meeting to you. We pray that our Lord Jesus would be honored, that, Father, his name would be lifted up, and that, Lord, you would bring the blessing. Father, we commit it to you, and we call upon you now in our weakness. And we ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be, and pardon me if I wander a little bit, I like to do that. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles this morning, the 14th chapter to begin, reading one of my favorite Bible stories, and reading about one of Israel's kings, Asa, as we call him. And we're going to do a bit of reading today as we go, and we're going to just kind of follow this story across three chapters. We won't read all three chapters together, but we'll follow the story and pick up some key thoughts from the life of Asa, as we think about this theme this morning, that the battle is the Lord's, and we'll have a lot to say about that as we go, Lord willing. So we're in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 1 to begin. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa his son reigned in his place. In his days the land was quiet for 10 years. As we read these next few verses, I'd like you to notice with me the number of times we see quiet or rest, okay? So the first thing we see here is that the land was quiet for 10 years under Asa. Verse 2, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. Once again, we see quietness here. Verse 6, and he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. And the first thing we observe about Asa, obviously, is that Asa was a man who was following the Lord, and he was engaged in that activity in a very active way. And as we know, or hopefully we know, that many of the kings of Israel were evil. Judah, in this particular case, at this time the kingdom's divided between Judah and Israel. And it always amazes me, you know, how you can get one king who is very good and one king who is very bad, and they could be father and son. And so, you know, Asa was going around. We don't know about his past, but we do know that he was busy taking down the offensive things that were in the land, high places, incense altars, and all of these things. And so he was active in his service to the Lord, and he was busy, and because of that, the Lord had given him rest for 10 years, and rest all around. No wars, quietness, and rest and peace. And you know, for us as believers, as we follow the Lord, as we live out our lives for him, the Lord can bless us and give us great rest and peace. And I'm sure you've had those times, and I'm having one right now in the East Coast of rest and peace and quiet. It's beautiful. It's wonderful, right? We have those times of refreshing from the Lord as we walk in his ways, as we follow him, as we live a life of obedience to him. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, you don't know his rest and you don't know his peace that he brings, you know, and we find that perfect peace and rest in the Lord Jesus. As we were singing all these hymns this morning, I thought to myself, well, perhaps the Lord would have me, just change the message here this morning. But, you know, what a rest we can have in the Lord Jesus. And if you don't know him, you need to, because that's the only place that rest is found. You know, people run and search all over this world for things to bring them peace and happiness and joy, and it's not found anywhere. Everything is empty and vain. Solomon found that out. He was the richest man that ever lived. Everything is vanity. There's only rest found in the Lord. And if you don't know him this morning, you need to. And he wants to give you rest and peace, because that's what he does in our hearts and our lives. But Asa followed the Lord. The Lord gave him rest and gave him peace and quietness. And that's true for us in our lives. As we serve the Lord, he gives us periods of rest. But look what happens here. He says, now, in verse 7, therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And so Asa was not only, you know, taking down the things which offended and getting rid of things in the land and in his life, perhaps, by way of example, that were offensive to God, but he was saying, hey, the Lord has given us rest. We know that. Let's take this opportunity and fortify our city. So what does that mean? Well, you know, obviously in those days, in those times, cities weren't like they are today, where you can just, you know, walk in and out and you see a sign and that's it, right? They had big, heavy walls. Now, in the will of the Lord, so I'll just give you this little teaser, okay? So in the will of the Lord tonight, what I'd like to do is show you a slideshow from my trip to Israel last year. In the will of the Lord tonight at 6:30, so I want to whet your appetite for that. But you'll see some pictures there of fortified city walls, okay? And in those times, we think of a block wall today or a poured concrete wall. No offense to Fenno, wherever he is here. But, you know, the walls in the ancient times, I mean, we're talking 10, 20, 30 feet thick and, you know, 40 feet high. I mean, unbelievable walls. And so that's what Asa was saying. Hey, let's take this time. We've got rest now. We've got quiet. Let's fortify our cities and make walls all around them, towers, gates, and bars, while we have opportunity to do that. And I think there's an application there for you and me too. You know, we have those times of rest and quiet from the Lord. We need to do some fortification in our own lives and in our own hearts. You know, that's the time that we have to build up our walls of defense. And how do we do that as believers? Well, I think it's obvious, but obviously we need to be, you know, taking those times to grow in the Lord, to be in the Word of God, to develop our prayer life, right? To get strong in the things of the Lord, to really be grounded in Him, right? To take advantage of the privilege that we have to fellowship in a local assembly and to exercise our gifts there. You know, the Lord has given us times of quiet and rest, and we can take that time to fortify our lives too as the Lord's people and not just to flit the time away. And you know, I can think of my own life. Lots of times where I had some quiet periods and some restful periods, and I didn't do that. I spent my time, you know, getting lazy, really, spiritually, and just kind of, you know, having fun with life. And that's a temptation for us. It's a trap for us. And, you know, we were talking the other night at Wayne's house about one of the questions that he asked me was, what do you think about, you know, pray that you enter not into temptation. You know, the Lord said that to his disciples as the Lord went to Gethsemane and cried out to his God. And I don't have all the answers, certainly, but one thought that comes to me about that is the temptation for us as believers, right, when we have opportunities to serve the Lord, to be distracted about so many other things and to really, you know, in a sense, waste our time and our energies and our efforts pursuing things of this life. You know, so Asa fortified. We need to fortify as the Lord's people. We need to build up strength because, you know, those times of quietness and peace aren't going to last forever, as we're going to see here in our story. And so while we have the time before us, let us fortify, as did Asa. Well, we read on here. It says that in verse 8, Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. That's a pretty sizable army, 580,000 guys here. And it says about them that they're mighty men of valor. So I take from that these aren't, you know, wimps, if I can use that word, right? These are mighty men of valor. These are men of strength, men of war perhaps, trained men. It's a big army. And the scriptures mention that for us. So things are going good for Asa at this point, aren't they? I mean, he's seeking the Lord. The Lord is giving him rest, quiet, no wars. He's got time to fortify. He's got a big, massive army out there. And everything looks great. And sometimes in our life as believers, you know, things can be great like that too. And we can be kind of rolling along and thinking, man, you know, we're just really in a place of blessing here. And we are. We are, for sure. There are times when the Lord is just blessing and we see that blessing. We're thankful for that. But then something can happen, right? Let's read on. Let's read on in verse 9. It says, then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Maresha. So what's going on now? I mean, after all, wasn't Asa being obedient to the Lord? Wasn't he following the Lord? Wasn't he seeking the Lord? But now all of a sudden this incredible enemy comes out against him. What is going on here? And it's 1,000,000 men. Almost double, right? The size of Asa's army. Even though those are mighty men of valor, those are not good odds. And they've got 300 chariots, which in those days was a terrible weapon of war and tough to beat when teamed up to a horse. So Asa's got a problem on his hand. He's facing a challenge here. He's facing an incredible battle in front of him, even though he's faithful to the Lord. And for you and I as the Lord's people, that can happen too, can't it? You know, we sometimes face battles. In fact, we will face battles. And those battles will take different forms in our life. And it's not the case that we're not being faithful to the Lord. Okay, but the Lord in his ways of dealing with us brings certain things into our life and faces us with challenge for a lot of reasons. We've talked about some of those in the past. Sometimes to increase our faith, to test our faith, to cause us to grow, right, and not be slack. But nonetheless, Asa, even though he's faithful to the Lord, is facing a tremendous challenge here. In fact, it's almost, you know, a challenge that's too great, right? It's a huge obstacle here. Have you ever faced such an obstacle in your life? So let's see what happens. Verse 11. It says, "And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, 'Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you.'" And in this moment, I would submit to you that Asa is probably at the pinnacle of his spiritual life because he's right on. At this point in his life, he's right on the money. He is expressing true faith in the Lord his God here, and he is crying out to the Lord, and he understands that the battle is the Lord's. That's our theme today. Notice what he says, "It's nothing for you to help." Nothing for you to help. You know, he saw 1,000,000 men facing him. No doubt he was terrified. I would be. Because they didn't fight, you know, it wasn't, you know, this is not going to be good, right? No doubt he had some fear. Nonetheless, he says, "It's nothing for you to help." No matter how big the obstacle that you're facing, you know, and sometimes as believers, we can look at the things that we face and we think, well, that's too big. And sometimes we don't take it to the Lord, or we think that we can deal with it in our own way, perhaps. Or sometimes we might look at these stories in the scriptures and say, well, you know, that was for Asa, or that was for the kings of Israel, or that was for that time, and this time is different. And maybe I'm too insignificant for the Lord, or maybe what I'm facing in life is not 1,000,000-man army coming to destroy my country, but the Lord knows, right? And whatever it is you're facing, whatever battle you're facing that seems insurmountable to you, you're not forgotten. The Lord loves you as his dear children. He loves me. You know, David said, "The Lord is for me." The Lord is for me. And for those of us who know the Lord Jesus, the Lord is for us. He's for you. Why? Because of his son. Not because of you, but because of who the Lord Jesus is. And because we're in him. The Lord is for us. And the Lord, he says here, "Lord, it's nothing for you to help with many or with those who have no power." The size of the army doesn't matter. The size of my bank account doesn't matter. That my own whatever view of my, you know, spiritual strength is doesn't matter. It's nothing for you. "Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude." And the question for you and me is, are we resting on the Lord? Are we crying out to him when those armies come against us, whatever that situation might be in your life, right? Are we crying out to the Lord? Is that the first place we go? And are we confessing that to the Lord? And do we believe that, in fact, that our God can do anything? We say that, of course. Amen. But do we really? You know, I mean, I confess to you that there's times in my life where I doubted that. Or I agreed with the truth of God's word. Say, of course, yes, amen, absolutely, God can do anything. But, you know, in my situation, I don't really think he's prepared to. Maybe, you know, maybe he will. I hope so, maybe, you know. Our God can do anything. And Asa is right on the money here. He cries out to the Lord his God. It's his only avenue. He doesn't say, well, Lord, you know, I've got a pretty decent army here. Could you just kind of help me out a little on the side? No, he says, Lord, this is all of you. It's totally up to you. We're resting only in you. We're only going in your name. And Lord, by the way, don't let men prevail against you. It's not even about him at this point. It's about the name of God. And he just gives it all back to him. And let's see what happens here. So verse 12. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. You know, the way I read the scripture, and perhaps I'm misunderstanding it, but I certainly know it in other cases, I think the Lord just routed them here. I don't think Asa lifted a sword at this point. The Lord struck them. And we read of other cases in the Old Testament where the Lord came through, or the angel of death came through and annihilated the armies of Israel, and they never even picked up a sword. But the Lord acts here because of Asa's faith in him. And he routs the Ethiopians, and the Ethiopians fled. And then in verse 13, Asa and the people were with him pursued them to Gerar. And so the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. And you know, today, in 2013, the Ethiopians still haven't recovered. And they never have. Okay, they were defeated this day, many thousands of years ago, and they remain in that condition to this day. Because Asa had faith in his God, he trusted in the Lord, he rested only in him, and he understood the battle was the Lord's, and the Lord routed them before Judah. And a great victory was wrought. Verse 14, then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, and there was exceedingly much spoil in them, and so on. They carried all that stuff back to Jerusalem. Wow, what a victory. Have you had a victory like that in your life, beloved? Have you had a time in your life where there was something before you, and you cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered you and in a powerful way, in a marvelous way, in a miraculous way? I have, for sure. It wasn't a million-man army, thankfully. Something, but for me it was big, right? It could be a job situation. It could be a financial situation. It could be a relationship situation. It could be an issue in our local churches. It could be an issue in ministry with fellow believers. You know, there's lots of battles that we can face, right? Have you seen the Lord act as you've waited on him? Asa did. Let's go on. Chapter 15. Interesting stuff here. It says in verse 1, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, now Azariah means, his name means, the Lord has helped. Interesting. The Lord has helped, and the Lord certainly helped, didn't he? So this prophet named Azariah comes, his name meaning the Lord has helped, and he comes out to meet Asa in verse 2 and says to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, it goes on to say, he took great courage. What a victory. And you know, there's times in our life where the Lord gives us those incredible victories, and it strengthens our faith, doesn't it? Encourages us in the way, and we take strength and courage in that, and we move on for the Lord to even greater things, to bigger things. And I submit to you that that's what was going on here. When the Lord allowed those Ethiopians to come against Asa, it wasn't because Asa had failed the Lord or because he was somehow deficient or the Lord was just going to say, well, I want to mess with this guy. The Lord had a purpose in this. And we read on here that Asa goes from here and he goes from strength to strength. He goes on to remove even more idolatrous things from Israel. He's taking courage now. And he goes out, he even removes his grandmother from the monarchy because of her sins and so on. And he continues to fortify and to build and to take great courage. And that was the purpose of this test for Asa, to strengthen his faith, to strengthen his hand in the Lord and the work of the Lord. And sometimes, you know, we struggle with the trials of life and we wonder what can possibly come from this. But the Lord is at work. And if we submit to him, if we humble ourselves before him, he can use it in our lives and in the lives of others for great things, for things we can't possibly conceive. And I'm reminded of a story I was told not long ago, and perhaps you've heard the story. It's a true story, and I think this brother is in the States, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but I heard this story recently of a man who lost his young daughter at the age of 4 as a believer. I can't remember all the circumstances, but she died. And in his grief, he confessed that he cried out to the Lord. He was alone by a lake one day, and he just shouted out to the Lord, "What can possibly ever come from this?" And he was, you know, obviously distraught. Terrible situation. And he was almost, as it were, shaking his fist towards heaven. "Lord, I just don't understand. What can possibly come from this?" Right? Fast forward a few years, and he was asked to share his testimony and a similar condition with another brother who, this brother had, through an accident, I don't know if it was a hunting accident or what the situation was, but it was another brother who had accidentally killed his own daughter. And these two men were asked to share their testimony, and at first the first man said, "No, I can't do that. I'm not ready for that." But eventually he did, and the Lord brought these two men together and in a similar circumstance, and a long story short, their story began to be shared within the prisons, I think, in the United States. And a number of years later, you know, they were now in full-time ministry together, ministering to prisoners. And the story of these two girls and their fathers and what the Lord had done, many were coming to faith, you know. And as that father would say, he says, you know, "The purpose was that my daughter is now ministering in prisons." You know, the Lord took her at a young age, but she is at work. And so he could see after many years that the Lord took that very difficult battle and brought great victory through it. Many souls coming to Christ because of that terrible story. And you know, sometimes we wonder, but the Lord can do amazing things. And so Asa took strength, took courage, and the Lord delivered him. And onward he goes. In this particular battle, he was victorious because the Lord worked a mighty miracle that day. And so he went on, he took courage. Well, let's move on here. You know, and before we do, though, I'm reminded of a couple of words and a couple of things. And one of them is David, of course. We think of David. Now I've lost my notes here, but it always does this to me. I don't understand it. iPads, right? Crazy things. You know, David had a similar thing, didn't he, right? I mean, when he faced Goliath in the Valley of Elah, you know, when he went out to meet Goliath in that field, he understood, right? And in 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47, he's speaking to that guy, and he says, "You come against us with swords and spears and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God." And he says those famous words, "For the battle is the Lord's. And this day he's going to deliver your hand into my head, and everybody's going to know that there's a God in Israel and that the victory is not won by men, but by the Lord himself." And we know the end of that story, right? David confessed that. David confessed that, and there was a great victory won. And David had the same faith in the Lord his God to understand that he is the one. He's the only power. And there is no battle that's too great for the Lord. There's nothing that's beyond the Lord our God. And everyone will know that the horse. And in Psalm 33, verse 16, David said this after many years of experience. He says, "No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength." Do we believe that? You know, we look at sometimes our situation in North America, as I have done, and we look to the south of our border and we say, "Wow, there's a powerful military, and that's why we're free here in Canada, is it?" When I was in Israel, our guide was questioning us, and he says, "You know, why are we here as a nation of Israel?" He says, "Because we're a great people? No. Because we have a strong military? No. Because we're a godly people? No." He says, "We're here for only one reason, because the Lord God made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that will be fulfilled. And the Lord is going to use that tiny strip of insignificant land to show this entire world that it is not by strength, it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord. The size of the army is irrelevant and means nothing to the Lord our God. And whatever battle you are facing is not too great for our God. He can do anything. Even when it seems completely impossible, the Lord can do anything." David understood that it is always the Lord. The battle is always the Lord's, no matter what the battle is. You know, even when we come to him in salvation, right, that battle's his too. We don't save ourselves by our own strength or by our own righteousness or good works. We can't create in ourselves holiness and righteousness. That battle is the Lord's. All battles are. We just need to get our hearts in the right place and understand that and have faith in the Lord our God and cry out to him. Let's go on. So, in the 36th year, we're in chapter 16 now in verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah that he might not let none go out or come into Asa king of Judah. Now, Baasha, that name means something that's a very bad smell, very offensive. Interesting. I like doing, you should, you know, it's a really great study when you're reading through the scriptures to dig into the meanings behind the names. Hebrew names have meanings. And it's interesting that this offensive, stinking smell comes against Judah now, you see. And what's he doing to his own brother? He's going to build a siege against him and try to ruin Asa and destroy him. That's what he's doing here. So now Asa's fighting another battle. About 25 years have passed approximately since the Ethiopians and the Lubim were routed. And now we have another battle. And then verse 2, it says, Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa, sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ejon, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. That's all in the north of Israel. Baasha is down in the south now attacking Judah. So the king of Syria comes in, attacks all these northern cities. Verse 5, now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. So, you know, he's got a problem in the north. He stops his siege against Judah. He's heading back north now to take care of the problem up there. Verse 6, then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. Now on the surface, beloved, this looks like not such a bad thing. I'm going over here now. I mean, here, you know, he's got another problem. problem fixed. Right? I mean, enemy defeated, Baasha's gone, and not only that, he gets all of his spoil, he goes out there, takes down all that stuff that he was building, and uses it to build his own cities and fortify again. Awesome. Second battle, second outcome. Outcome looks very similar, but we have another prophet who's going to come here in verse 7. At that time, Hanani, that word means graciousness. God in his grace sends Hanani the seer to Asa, king of Judah, and says to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Well, yes, there was a similar outcome, but in this case, we know this story now, that in this case, Asa, instead of crying out to the Lord, he hired a foreign king. And not only that, he took the sacred things from the house of the Lord with which to pay him. And we're not told what happened in Asa's life, and I don't know. We can only speculate, right? But something changed in Asa over those 25 years. I don't know what it was. But we get to this stage in his life, and perhaps he had forgotten. That can happen to us, can't it? I mean, I can go back, you know, 25 years ago and think of a specific issue where the Lord just miraculously delivered us financially out of a disaster. But then a few years later, I seem to forget that and I start to worry and to fret and to doubt and to turn everywhere but to the Lord. We're like that as people. We forget things. Perhaps that was his case. Perhaps, I don't know, maybe after 25 years of peaceful living, he was just growing, you know, not so, maybe those fires that were once burning in Asa were now down to coals and embers. Has that ever happened in your life? It has for me. You know, we have those moments, those God moments where we're on fire for the Lord. We feel like we can conquer anything. And then a few years later, for some reason, we seem to be, you know, just kind of drifting along with the tide. Whatever the case, we don't know. But in this case, Asa did the wrong thing. He didn't go to the Lord. He still dealt with the problem, but in the wrong way. And do we ever do that? Have you ever faced a challenge in your life or a problem in your life, and instead of turning to the Lord, have you turned somewhere else for help? Or have you taken the matter into your own hands, perhaps? I have. What is the result? The result is the Lord takes notice of this, and he reminds them that, look, you had this massive army of the Ethiopians, and I think it was such a great thing, you know. The contrast here is huge. I mean, Baasha, king of Israel, nothing. He's building a little siege mound over here in Ramah. And for some reason, you know, Asa forgets about the fact that the Lord defeated a million men before him, and he didn't even have to lift a sword except to chase them after the Lord began his destruction. And now he has a much smaller enemy, and he flees to the Syrians. And it says here of the Syrians, it says, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand, so it remains today in 2013. Syria continues to plague Israel and is a major problem in the Middle East. And you know, our actions before the Lord have consequences. As we know from the children of Israel who failed to trust the Lord when they went into the land and utterly defeat the enemies of the Lord. You see, they started to take their eyes off the Lord and look to themselves. Perhaps that's what happened to Asa. And did not defeat those peoples, and to this day, they plague them, right? There's consequences for our actions before the Lord. But he did a bad thing, and I want you to notice verse 9 here, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. If you don't remember any other verse this morning, this is the one that I really want you to remember. It's a great verse to commit to memory. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal towards him, or perfect towards him, or complete towards him. The eyes of the Lord are running around throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is right before him. And I believe that's true for you and me today. I really do. The Lord wants to show himself strong on our behalf. He is looking for those who will trust in him. And when we do, he will act in a mighty way. Not for our sakes, but for his name. That everyone will know that this is of the Lord. And you know, I remember a brother saying not too long ago, we were talking about various gospel work and challenges in gospel work. And as we were sharing, I was sharing about how insurmountable the task seemed. And he said, well, praise God. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, then if anything happens here, it's of the Lord. It's clearly too big for us. So this has to be of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for those situations, right? You know, the Lord Jesus, when he went about, it says of him that it says of him that he couldn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. It was the Lord somehow, you know, limited, as some people would suggest today, because they didn't have their, you know, words of faith down? Of course not. He's not limited by anything. But it says that, right? Their faith wasn't strong enough, so the Lord didn't do many mighty works over there, right? Especially in his hometown of Nazareth. They didn't receive him. What was going on there? Well, you see, the Lord our God doesn't go around like a puppet show just doing stuff to please people whose heart is in the wrong place. That's not what he does, right? Oftentimes, the Lord's own brother says, well, go up to the feast, you know, make yourself known. I mean, after all, that's what you're here for, isn't it? You got to get a following, and the Lord didn't go because that's not what he's interested in. But he's interested in those who put their faith and trust in him, and when they do, then he acts. Not so that he can just please the crowd and get everybody to go, wow, but for those who trust in him, who know him, who love him, whose heart is right, he acts. And I believe it's the same for us today as Christians, you know. And oftentimes in my life, I've turned to everywhere except the Lord, trying to take matters sometimes into my own hands, thinking that, well, you know, I'm just too busy for that right now. I've got to get out there and look for a job. Well, you know, we do, I suppose, but the first thing is we ought to get on our knees and cry out to the Lord. Whether it's for a job, whether it's for a financial problem, whether it's for a relationship issue, sometimes, beloved, we need to step back. And before we act too rashly, commit it to the Lord. You know, but because we can't cause an anxious thought. That's the truth. I can't change your heart or your mind. I can't cause your hair to turn white or black. But the Spirit of God can. He works in the hearts of men. And you know, when we have those issues, perhaps even sometimes we're at war with one another, in the church or in our families, or we've got a real root of bitterness there, we commit that to the Lord. And we say, Father, I can't do anything. We need you to act. And sometimes we rush into the situation, think we can fix everything, think we can just take matters into our own hands, and somehow in our own strength and ability, we can make this thing go away. But we need to be crying out to the Lord at all times, and I think the Lord wants us in that place, just like Asa was. Even though we've got a sizable army here, even though we've got fortified cities, even though our life has been going great, we need to understand something. As the Lord Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. All power is in the Lord. We don't have any. We are weak, beloved. No matter how strong you might think you are weak. I am weak. The only strength we have is by God's grace, by the Spirit of God. And, you know, we need to be in that place of crying out to the Lord. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal towards him. Is your heart loyal towards him this morning? Is it right before him? Is it perfect before him, as the scriptures say? Are we trusting in him? Do we understand that the battle is the Lord's? And we have no hope apart from him. And there's been many times in my life when I haven't done that, but the Lord is gracious for us as his people, and he continues to give us opportunities. And I would encourage you today, if you're facing a battle in your life, and perhaps you are, and perhaps you're not, to take it to the Lord, to cry out to him, to rest on him, to wait on him, and to watch him act. And you know, the Lord Jesus said this in Luke 17, after the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. What does he say in Luke 17 and 6? The Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And I wonder sometimes, you know, we try to minimize those statements of the Lord. But the opportunity is there for us, even as his own people, to really, you know, believe and to trust in him and to understand that he can do anything. There is no situation that you are facing that he cannot overcome. Now, he may not do it in the way you might think. Right? We need to be careful about that. The Lord has his ways, and the Lord is at work in our lives, but we need to commit everything to him. We'll finish with this verse here in Isaiah 64 and verse 4. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. May the Lord help us to trust in him more. Day by day, to commit every situation in our life to him, to cry out to him, to wait on him, and to watch him act. And as we do that, we will see our faith increase, and we will grow in the Lord. Father, we're so thankful this morning for our time together. Father, we're so thankful for the fact that you are God, and there is none else. Lord, we thank you for this incredible account that we have recorded here in the scriptures of how you defeated the Ethiopians before Judah. Lord, a mighty victory that was all to your credit. It was all of you, Lord. And Father, we thank you that we are your children this morning, that you are our Father, Lord. You are our God, but you are also our Father. You love us. You care for us. Father, we know that you are at work in our life. Help us, Father, to trust you more. Lord, to see your hand and power at work in our lives, Father, as we commit every challenge to you. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts today. Father, for anyone here who's struggling, and Lord, perhaps maybe has even lost hope, Father, I just pray that you would speak to their heart again and let them know, Father, that you love them, that you are for them, Father, and that you can do anything. Lord, help us to trust in you. Father, we just commit ourselves to you now. We give thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.